This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. To the Great Lakes now, where we've concentrated a lot on our show about the record-breaking low water levels. The Great Lakes at their lowest levels in decades, so much so that emergency action like dredging was called for early this year. But now we're hearing new reports saying Lake Michigan and Lake Huron could climb almost 2 feet this summer. So let's turn to Al Steinman now, as we do when we have questions about our Great Lakes. Al is director of the Annis Water Resources Institute at Grand Valley State University. Hello, Al.
Good morning, Cynthia.
So explain this to us. The Army Corps of Engineers saying the waters could rise 20 inches after a year of record-breaking low levels. What's happening here?
Well, we've had some really significant rain events, and that has helped contribute to rising water levels, and that's good news, obviously. Now, the projection for potentially up to 20 inches is just that. It is a projection. We've risen about 8 inches since the beginning of April, but we're still a good 16, 17 inches below the long-term mean. So we have to keep that in mind in terms of where we are right now relative to where we've been.
Give us a sense of how the lakes progress through the year. It will be going up and hitting a high through, what, July and August?
Traditionally, that's what happens as we get runoff from the snowmelt, and then our spring rains contribute to the water levels starting to rise, usually in late spring, continuing through spring, and then peaking June, July, and then they start to decline again as we go into the winter. Of course, the early winter months are the points of greatest evaporation, so if we don't have ice cover, that exacerbates the lower water levels. So that's a traditional seasonal cycle, and then superimposed on that are the problems we have with long-term climate. So if we have long periods where we've had relatively low rain and high evaporation, we start to see the water levels go down further than average and vice versa.
So what will it take to get our Great Lakes water levels back to a cycle and a level that is comfortable, that is not alarming?
Well, alarming's in the eye of the beholder, I suppose. But I think, you know, as we have talked about in the past and as we hear from other folks, what it would require is a couple of years of above-average rain, and particularly some wet summers when things tend to be normally dry. And what would also help a lot is we had some very cold winters where we had more ice cover to preclude the evaporation off the lakes. What happens, what we see normally in November, December, is the lakes are still relatively warm. They retain that heat from the summer, and they're open. The ice has not yet formed, and we get these cold fronts coming out of the Arctic. And when that cold air passes over the relatively warm water, that's when we get our greatest amounts of evaporation. So if that ice cover could form a little quicker and longer, then we get less of that evaporation.
As you look at the different Great Lakes, Al, are there some of the lakes that have you more concerned than others?
Well, clearly Michigan and Huron have been the ones that have been receiving the most amount of attention and media attention and focal points. That's a couple of reasons. One, given the way that the runoff has been for these lakes, our lakes have been lower relative to the lower lakes, and Superior also has received relatively less precipitation. So they've also experienced lower water levels, but not to the degree of Michigan and Huron. Now, as we talked about previously, that Upper Great Lakes study done by the International Joint Commission was really promulgated from the work, from the pressure applied by the folks up in Georgian Bay, where there's some very wealthy cottage owners in Ontario. And they were the ones that really worked on the Canadian Parliament, then worked on the U.S. Congress to fund that study to look at why water levels have been low and whether the dredging that took place in the St. Clair River back in the 1960s was responsible for that and whether there was increased conveyance out of the Great Lakes. And the IJC recently reviewed that their original study. They went back and re-reviewed it and looked at whether it was feasible to put in some devices, some engineering solutions to try and mitigate the dredging impacts from the 1960s. One thing that the study, and I want to reiterate this, one thing the study did find is that there's no continuing erosion going on at the bottom of the St. Clair River. So yes, the dredging in the 60s certainly increased the conveyance, more water out of Lake Huron, the bottom of Lake Huron, mm-hmm. but that has stabilized. And so the question is, do we put in some kind of a structure to hold the water back and maybe gain a few inches at a cost of, you know, billions of dollars and probably years of permitting, or do we just accept the fact that, you know, climate impacts our water levels and we adapt to that as best as possible? And that's a key societal decision that has not yet been made.
What are your thoughts on that question?
Well, personally, you know, I find that engineering solutions always concern me because we always run the risk of unanticipated consequences that occur from those kinds of activities. And a lot of those areas in the St. Clair where they're looking at putting in these devices are key sturgeon spawning habitat. So we'd have to certainly do some kind of an end around to make sure that that's not a factor in this process. And as if you look at the hydrographs for the Great Lakes, they go up and down over time. And, you know, just 25 years ago, 30 years ago, in the late 80s, when we had all-time high water levels in the Great Lakes, back then, if somebody said, let's put in an engineering solution to hold up water, they'd think people were insane. So we have to look at this in the long view. And while I am very sympathetic to the folks up in Georgian Bay and even the people here, you know, on Lake Michigan and Lake Huron and areas that have really suffered from low water levels, over the long term, the lake levels go up and down. And engineering solutions, a lot of money, a lot of permitting, will probably make some lawyers and some engineers and some construction folks very wealthy for a short period of time. But my view is that if we start looking at adaptive management to deal with changing water levels, high and low, and coming up with the societal expectations associated with that, I think that makes a lot more sense in the long run.
Speaking of the long view, Al, what will you be watching for as you are watching the water levels in our Great Lakes over the next few months?
Well, I think, you know, really it's going to be a function of what the precipitation is like, Cynthia. So if we continue to get the kind of, you know, I think in 2013 we're about something like 10 inches above average for precipitation for 2013 already. So obviously if that continues, we can expect the water levels to keep going up. And as we've talked about before, we're really focused right now, for good reason, on water quantity, but we also have to consider water quality. So if we do get a lot of these major rain events, what we call episodic storm events, there's a lot of runoff and pollutants that go into that runoff as well. So we want to keep an eye, particularly in the summer months, when we get the periods of harmful algal blooms forming in our lakes, that runoff isn't contributing the nutrients that will help stimulate those blooms. And so that's something we'll keep an eye on as well.
Dr. Alan Steinman, director of the Annis Water Resources Institute at Grand Valley State University and a leader on water issues in the Great Lakes region. Thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you, Cynthia.